But it seems clear that if it was not the primary factor, then it was certainly a very important factor in spurring European economic growth. It, that is to say, the Spanish conquest of the New World and the bringing of new products and indeed of bullion, sort of raw money, into Europe. You'll remember that the 14th and 15th centuries had been difficult, complex, and constantly fluctuating times for the European economy. So great growth and development began owing to opportunities outside Europe. And that has been an interesting dimension of the Western world, Europe's and then the United States' economic development over the last four or five centuries, partly driven by internal developments, partly driven by what happens in the rest of the world. Now, any attempt to understand the dynamics and consequences of this era brings us to talk about what historians have come to call the Columbian Exchange. Now, this has been a very controversial subject. In other words, it really has to do with the relationship between these colonial worlds on the one hand and the European world that colonized them on the other. Strictly speaking, what's the Columbian Exchange mean? Well, for example, diseases were moved in both directions across the Atlantic. Syphilis, most notably, from the Americas to Europe, while smallpox, diphtheria, measles, whooping cough, chicken pox, malaria, typhoid, yellow fever, scarlet fever, flu, and tuberculosis, perhaps even bubonic plague, were carried by Europeans to the New World. Carried there utterly inadvertently, it must be said. There are people who talk about this tremendous carnage, this holocaust visited by Europeans on the population of the New World. Well, it may be true that something like 90% of the native population of the Indies, of some regions at least of the Indies, died as a result of contracting one or another of these European-introduced diseases. That is tragic, and that is a tragedy on an enormous scale. But it is very important to say no one willed it, no one desired it, no one set out to produce this effect. It was an unintended consequence of persons from populations that had long developed a certain, if not immunity, then at least a certain resistance to various diseases, going into populations that had absolutely no resistance to those diseases. Now, there were large numbers of animals, for example, imported and exported as well. To the New World, cattle, sheep, pigs, goats, chickens, donkeys, and even, it seems, some kinds of dogs and cats. Numerous Old World plants came to the New. Oats, barley, and wheat, most notably, great cereal grains. Also, dandelions. We can thank the Columbian Exchange for our dandelions. Maize, potatoes, and sweet potatoes are the primary plants that traveled eastward, that came from the New World to the Old. Now, we could carry on this discussion of the Columbian Exchange talking about various other things that were, in some sense, exchanged back and forth across the Atlantic. But it's more important, it seems to me, to put a little emphasis on the fact that it was indeed Europeans who reached out to explore, to conquer, and to colonize the rest of the world. This is a fact with consequences that reach down to our own days. Much of what we today call the Third World or the developing world is made up of former European colonies. With the age of exploration, the age of discovery, Western civilization and world history merge in a way that they never had done before, and they merge in a way that has bound the West and the world inseparably to one another in the four or five centuries that we think of as the modern world. This, in the long run, is the great overseas legacy of Western civilization in the age of Renaissance and Reformation.